From our heads come dreams and visions.
On our shoulders we carry the life's griefs as well as the weight of the world.
We have lived through the seasons of time with God as our God.
With our hands we have given and received God's bounty and grace.
From our lips we have spoken words of sorrow and set loose reels of laughter. This morning we lift up our faith, knowing that none is
part of God's fabric.
Together we are the design of His creation.
Together.
And now we can all greet each other with the greeting of peace.
Peace be with you, dear.
I'd like to welcome you to this bright November morning that doesn't seem to be too terribly freezing cold. I'd like to welcome you to this time of pause, of worship, of prayer, and of song. Welcome to you who arrived with singing hearts this morning. And welcome to those who came here this morning with worries weighing down their backs. Welcome to believers and questioning believers. Welcome to old friends and visitors. Welcome to this time of worship together. May we all awaken to the light of God's love that embraces us as we unwrap this new day.
I will read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in all. Now I invite the children to come up front to have children's time with Kathy. Where's Kathy?
But I'm going to do announcements for 1 second.
Okay.
We skipped announcements. And I need to do this because Advent starts next Sunday. And we have our Advent devotionals. All right. They're out in the Jonathan Edwards room on the table. And if you, courtesy of Rick Floyd, who's one of the authors, we got a very good price. And he's on page 12. And... but there's a devotion for every day of Advent, and please take one. We have plenty. Thanks.
1 second, perfect. Hi, I'm Madonna Marr, and I'm with the Mission in Action Committee, and I have to get this announcement out. I know that Alice Wilmot gave a pitch last week, but today actually is the official day where you can take tags in the JE room off the tree and wrap a present and put the tag on it. And I just wanted to say that we expanded. Usually we get our names for the gifts from Construct in Great Barrington. But in addition to Construct, we expanded this year. And we included one family from the Elizabeth Freeman Center up in Pittsfield. We expanded to the Literacy Network of Southern Berkshire. So there's a lot of tags with books for children and adults and young adults. We expanded to the Otis Elementary School. We expanded again this year. Actually, it's not expanding, but we are doing the dogs and cats for two animal shelters. So Sonsini and Animal Dreams. So the shelters just need basic supplies. Everything is on the tag on the back of them and on the bulletin board. Nell Ezekiel organized all of this. And then we hope you're going to participate because I think we're all rich, all of us, in spirit and also with when you compare yourself to people who are really needy. Here is a tag for a boy that's 8 months old, and the wish is a blanket. Then there was a mom, and her wish is some bath towels. There are students in Otis that wrote their own list. One of them had an 11-year-old girl who wanted a blanket. I took that one. I just said, I got to take that one. And then there was another child, age 9, who wanted chapstick. That was their request. So I think we're all rich if we can afford chapstick. And it's such a humbling experience to look at the tags and offer these people who are in need just a lovely present for their, you know, for their holiday season. So I hope you will go to the Jonathan Edwards room. There is a clipboard, you put your name, you put the corresponding number and letter F46, your phone number, and buy the gift and have it back here with the tag taped to the wrapped package by the 14th of December. Thank you so much.
I just want to say to everybody that there's a November 29th, next Sunday, is a book share. Isaiah Singing at the Barrington Congregation Church. Next week, if everybody wants to join, they're welcome to, and it's free, and the donations are welcome.
All right, it's our turn. All right, if we can gather around, and you can just have a seat right here. This goes. So, what is going to be happening very soon?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, you're absolutely right. And what's Thanksgiving all about?
Thanksgiving,
it's
about turkey.
It is about turkey. Just wait. Yeah, it's about giving thanks for the things that you have, and sometimes it's not even things, just sometimes like sunshine. I'm pretty thankful for that this morning. So one of the things that often happens is we sing this particular song. So I'm going to give this to the folks who can read words pretty well.
I can.
That's okay. Can you share then?
This is the words that I know.
These are words that you know. Excellent. So anyway, this one goes like this. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. Do you know this one? Well, I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to do the first line. You do the second. Or do that. So I'm go right back. You're not going to do the second. You're not psychic. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. I need my cheat sheet back, thank you. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Now this is a kind of an interesting hymn because it uses all sorts of kind of old-fashioned language that maybe you don't know what is. Do you know what chasten means? Yeah, I bet you know what chasten means when mom says that you should have actually cleaned your room when you didn't. Yeah, that's what chasten means. Kind of a, it's not so much a scolding, it's just like a reminding that you have done what you ought not to have done. And what is hasten? Do you know what hasten is? That means wants to make faster. So he hastens his will to make known. He wants you to start catching on a little quicker than you are. And then the last bit, he says, sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Now, I have to confess to you. That's what I always used to think. He doesn't forget his own name. And I thought, well, that's a silly thing to put into a hymn. Why would God forget his own name? So what this really means is it's actually two separate thoughts. It's sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own people. So sing praises to his name because he doesn't forget us. How's that? So let's see if we can... We can do it one more time, and I think the congregation knows this pretty well, so if you want to join in, you can. Oh, something happened around the heater. Oh, that's a little better anyway. Close enough for ukulele. Here we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chases and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Thank you very much for singing along with me. Now, can we stand up and say the Lord's Prayer together? Thank you very much for being such good spirits. All right. Now let's let everybody can you hold a present? You can keep that in your pocket. Can you put that in your pocket? Okay. I'll hold it for a second.
Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, and then verses 20 through 24. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As the shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out of the people from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravished. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them, and I, the Lord, have spoken.
I'd like to ask you to do something for me as a prelude to my sermon. I'd like to ask you to think of one person in your life who has profoundly influenced you in a very life-affirming way. Someone who maybe loved you back to life when you were struggling, or maybe someone you had a chance encountered with, but who deeply touched your soul. Think of someone whose bond with you filled you up, touched your heart. Now, say that person's name in your mind and just hold on to it. Here's my question. What was it that made that bond so profound? I think more times than not, this connection happens when we have shared not only our wholeness, but also our brokenness with another person. And by brokenness, I mean our pain or shame or fear, our vulnerability, our doubt maybe, or our failures. I think that with that person, either you or they pulled open the curtain, dropped your mask, stepped aside from your fear to be fully present. And in that moment, you let go of all the facades that we go through life hiding behind. Isn't it the strangest thing that we spend so much time and energy building barriers against what we want the most? That we work so hard to hide our brokenness, to the degree that even the word broken is distasteful in our society. We are all, including me, so afraid that if our brokenness is visible, that we will be rejected or hurt or taken advantage of. But then look, here we are with the name of a person in our minds who profoundly influenced our lives. And this happened because we allowed what we considered broken to be seen and to be felt. We allowed the essence of our humanity to be revealed, and by doing so, the light was able to shine through the cracks. So, what does any of this have to do with today's lectionary reading? Here we have the sheep being separated from one another, the faithful separated from the faithless, those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven and those who will not. The lectionary passage for today clearly says what is required of us in order to be good Christians and to find salvation. It's incumbent upon us to feed the hungry, quench thirst, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, welcome the stranger, and we are to extend ourselves to the disenfranchised. But here's the thing. Here's the stumbling block that I see time and time again. I see people wanting to help, wanting to feed and clothe for others, but becoming overwhelmed by the enormity of the needs of our neighbors, both near and far. In our world today, there seems to be a tsunami of need that is never, never satiated. So what do we do? Well, I think that we freeze up. I think we give money to causes, but we don't embrace the stranger. We lend a helping hand, but never learn the name of the person who we're helping. It's all a little frightening. There is so much disease, famine, war in the world, so many foster children languishing, so many homeless people. In the face of this, I think we shut down. We turn off. We look the other way. We seem to become immobilized with compassion fatigue. What can we do? On one hand, we have Jesus telling us exactly what is required of us, and on the other hand, we are frozen by the enormity of the need. What's to be done? How do we live our faith? Well, my thought is that we should pause, that we should stop, that we take the time to be in thought and prayer and ask ourselves if we are bringing our whole selves to one another, to God, to church. Or do we only bring the bright, strong, positive parts of who we are? When you come to God, do you bring your hunger, your thirst, your fears? If we don't acknowledge and bring the all of ourselves to God, then how can we embrace the all of others? If we close ourselves off from ourselves, if we deny our own hunger or thirst or isolation, then how on earth can we recognize and extend ourselves to each other? The each other sitting next to you in church today, or the other that has nowhere to rest their head tonight. Jesus shared his wholeness as well as his brokenness, which allowed others and allows us to love each other. Jesus led, and Jesus leads us as much out of brokenness as out of love. I don't think many of us would be worshiping here today if he had only led in one of these and not the other. The following expresses this in a different way. It's called God's table. Come to the table. We come to the table. We come to the table on a slowing fall morning. We come to the table of body. We come to the table of mind. We come to the table of spirit. We come with both realized and unrealized hope. We come with our abilities and our disabilities. We come to the table with a fleeting awareness that both are blessings. But what is it, as we sit at the table, that makes us want to hide whatever might be broken in us? What is it that when we scoot our chair up to the table that we pull in our hearts for fear of being exposed, seen fully, revealed somehow? We come to the table trailing with us some old voice that cues us to be cautious, to present only our best selves, not the all of us. We come to the table of a new dawn, a new song, a wordless prayer. We come to the table, and looking across from where we sit, we see a small garden, or maybe it's a field of humanity. We look into their faces, we share their lives, or maybe they are strangers. And what do we see past their color, their clothes, their strange posture, or their downcast eyes? What do we see between their chatter, laughter, droning on about who knows what? What do we see? We see that they too have come to the table. If you look with open eyes, you'll see light coming out of the corners of their mouths, or maybe out of their frayed cuffs from the part in their hair. You'll see light pushing out, flowing out, billowing from those places that have been broken. Those places where life was hard, where hearts were dashed, or maybe you'll see loss deeper than a well. Or maybe those places of dire doubt, hopelessness, that have no breath. These places, all those places of living, those hard places that have made us who we are, as we pull our seat up to the table, as we look across at one face or a thousand, as we see once again the light pouring out of those broken places, as we arbitrate with ourselves the bitter and the sweet of life. And still we get tripped up in thinking it's only the strong, the sweet, the whole, the untarnished, the victor who should come to the table. Only the worthy deserve a place, deserve this place and that place at the table. And again, we are granted the great reprieve as we are invited again to the table, and again our barricades of silence and shame fall away as we once again and again look across and see the purest warmth, light shining through the wounds of others, that light that illuminates our humanity, that reminds us that we are on the same road, that we sit at the same table. There is no victory or loss in this moment. There is only the magnificence of humanity, the heart the equal footing, the irrepressible light we bring to the table, share at the table, where brokenness and wholeness are two sides of the same coin. Not better, not worse, but both exuding light. Light to see or be seen, light that soothes your furrowed brow, that holds you and holds you for a moment after that. Come to God's table to know once again and again we are each other's keepers. Come to the table of new beginnings. Come to the table in a morning in November. Come to the table of possibilities. Come to the table and be embraced. Better yet, the soft light that shines through your own brokenness, this is where love lives. Not the love you think you know, but the love that sits in you and across from you. Come to the table and look back. Think back on those people who have unwaveringly held your heart in their hands. Were they the invincible, the geniuses, the ones whose lives seem perfectly poised, powerful, indomitable? Or is it the one that held you, the one that allowed the gems of their humanity, their failings, fears, their hope, grace, pain, sweet joys, the ones that allowed you to allow them, that gave to you so you could give to them? As you pull your chair up to the table, raise your eyes so that others can see your whole self, the beauty that you are, the beauty that you do, the beauty that has grown out of your brokenness. Let them see the God light coming out of your life wounds, your fears, your uncertainties. Their eyes will be there to meet you. God will be there to meet you, to gather you up, to glory in your strength and brokenness that now billows out the breath of who you are becoming and pours out across this table, that table, life's table, to embrace and be embraced. We don't have time to secret away our failings. We don't have energy to deny the continents of who we are. We only have now. We only have this table before us. We only have the fabric of ourselves to bring to the table to embrace our faithfulness. We only have all of our light coming out of every wound and every hallelujah to hold those sitting across from us. Let light shine through your shame, pain, secrets, wounds. Let these have a God breath and watch it all turn to a vibrant love, vibrant living, as a person sitting across from you raises their eyes and finds repose in yours. Come to the table. Come to the table, bring your whole self so that your whole self can be held, so that the all of you can be held together. Together we come to the table and look with wonder at the light shining out from the cracks and tears of humanity. Look. See this tender, sweet light coming through the rents in the darkness. Come to the table. Come to the table. Bring the all of who you are. Alleluia. Now it's that time during our service where we share our joys and concerns. Feel free to raise your hand. Any joys?
Express joy for my son's engagement and with a wedding expected next September.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a gratitude. My sister and one of my nieces drove up from Madison, Connecticut today to hear me preach, which was a lovely thing to do. Anybody else? Yes. Good. Yes. Yes.
A joy for generosity of this church.
Yes. Lovely. Let's be in prayer. Dear Lord, we lift up our joys and our concerns, those that were spoken this morning and those that rest in our hearts. May the words of our mouths and of our hearts be like stones thrown into a pond, casting an ever-widening circle over the water's surface, embracing our prayers as instruments of your love. Amen.
Amen.
receive these gifts, bless these gifts, that they find their way to illuminating your love in the world. Amen.